Hello, NBA fans, and welcome to the Big Shot Pod. As always, I am your host, Chava Paja, and today we have a good one. This episode is with Clutch Talk, so thank you to John and Junior over from Clutch Talk for recording this episode with us. Now, in this episode, I spoke to Clutch Talk, and we did a round two preview where we talked about all four series for this next round. So we go over each series, we talk about what to expect, and all that. Now, when we did record this, it was before... We recorded this yesterday. So today there were two games, the Boston Milwaukee game and then the Golden State Memphis game. So I just want to go over those two games real quick before I send you over to listening to the part with Clutch Talk. Today the Celtics and the Bucks played. The Bucks won 101-89. Now the Bucks, they did not have Chris Middleton. He is likely out for the rest of the series. But this was a really big game for Giannis. He had 24 points, 13 rebounds, 12 assists. I mean, he was looking like Magic Johnson out there. And the Bucks defense was just incredible. The Celtics only had 10 two-point field goals made in the entire game. It was just great defense. The Bucks did not let the Celtics drive much to the basket. They were really... letting Boston shoot as many threes as possible, and Boston just wasn't able to make them. Milwaukee, they were also playing bully ball. I mean, we thought that the Celtics were playing bully ball with the Nets in round one. The Bucks gave the Celtics a rude awakening with this one. I mean, they just looked like complete bullies out there. It was absolutely incredible. The Celtics were very sloppy. The ball handling was not good. Jrue Holiday was all over all of Boston's guards. Marcus Smart shot 1 of 6 from three. Jason Tatum had 7 turnovers. Jrue Holiday was clearly the second best player in the game after Giannis Antetokounmpo. Jrue Holiday, he ended with 25 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 assists. But yeah, it was an incredible game. Jaylen Brown stats, they look way better than he actually played. Jaylen Brown, he had 12 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists on 4 of 13 shooting. Jason Tatum had 21 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and 40 minutes of play. Yeah, it just wasn't a good one for the Celtics here. Now, it could also be a little bit that they, you know, they were resting for a while after sweeping the Nets, so they had quite a bit of extra time to just hang out and relax. It could just be rust, but the Bucks looked absolutely incredible. Now, the second game was iconic. I felt like the Golden State Warriors won 117-116. That was just an incredible, incredible game. I mean, it was so energetic. There was so much energy, so much chippiness. This was a legitimate playoff game. Ja Morant had a big night with 34 points, 9 rebounds, 10 assists. Jaren Jackson Jr. for the Grizzlies, just a coming out party here after a poor first round. He had 33 points, 10 rebounds. He shot 6 of 9 from beyond the arc, so he was incredible. For the Warriors, Jordan Poole just continues to amaze. He had 31 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists. He was just absolutely incredible. Now, also, you know, Steph Curry didn't have the best game, but he did shoot. You know, he had 24 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. We saw a lot of Gary Payton. We saw a lot of Jonathan Kuminga. You know, really the Warriors were relying a lot on their young guys for speed and athleticism so that they could keep up with Memphis. The Warriors ended a +3 in rebounds in game one, which is surprising considering that Memphis is the one with the length. Now, also, both teams Both teams had 16 offensive rebounds. Memphis had 16 free throws. Golden State had 14. Draymond Green was ejected in the first half on a bizarre call. Draymond Green, he kind of grabbed the jersey. I can't remember on who it was. I believe it was on Brandon Clark. But yeah, Draymond Green, Brandon Clark was up in the air. Draymond Green grabbed at Brandon Clark's jersey and kind of pulled him down. And he kind of also got him across the face. And the officials decided that was enough for a flagrant two. So Draymond Green was out. I thought that was going to be a complete game changer when it comes to momentum and really confidence for Memphis. But they were not able to capitalize on that. The Warriors had 31 assists. Memphis had 26 assists. I mean, this was a really even game. Let's see here. Oh, Dylan Brooks and Desmond Bain, they shot a combined 6 of 23. Desmond Bain, obviously, he had an incredible first round against Minnesota, arguably the best player for Memphis, but he was not able to show up tonight. Like I said, the Warriors were relying a lot on their young guys, especially Jonathan Kuminga and Gary Payton, mostly for defense, rebounding, speed, and they just had a massive impact. They got a lot of extra second chance points, whether it was through rebounding, steals, causing turnovers. So they were incredible. Brandon Clark continues to shine for the Grizzlies. I mean, this guy, he had 12 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists. He had a couple blocks. He has just been incredible here in these playoffs for Memphis. And this was the first game in NBA history that had three players under the age of 22 years old who had 30-plus points, those players being Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Jordan Poole. So we're on top of everything, these playoffs, we're really watching all these young guys step up here in the playoffs when it matters most. And these young guys are shining. So the NBA is in a good spot for a long time. But yeah, so that's what we saw in the first two games of round two today. So I just wanted to give you an update on that. So Golden State is up on Memphis 1-0 in that series, and Milwaukee is up 1-0 over Boston. Tomorrow we're going to watch Dallas and Phoenix, and we're also going to watch Miami and Philadelphia. So those will be two games, and obviously I'll be recapping that later on in the week. But okay, I just wanted to go over those two games that happened today. But here in this next part of the podcast, like I said, I will be speaking with Clutch Talk, with John and Jay Hill from Clutch Talk, which, by the way, please go give them a listen. You can listen to Clutch Talk on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. They're also on YouTube. They have a lot of great content where they talk about stuff like we do here on the Big Shot Pod. They also have interviews with former players. They just have a lot of great content over at Clutch Talk. So please give them a follow and listen to their content. You will not regret it. So I just want to give a big shout out to John and Jay Hill over at Clutch Talk. Thank you for having me on. Yeah, this was a really fun podcast, and I'll let you guys listen to it now. Thank you, guys.
That's right there. All right, here. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Clutch Talk Podcast / YouTube / We Do It All. It's Saturday, April 30th. NBA playoffs is in full effect. My brother Junior, we got you in the building. How you doing today, man?
Doing pretty good, man. I'm excited to be here. Predict the second round. We got through one round of exhilarating games, great action, and it's been a pretty good playoff, especially from a neutral standpoint. So I like it, and I'm excited to talk about these round two predictions here.
Absolutely, man. So we're excited to have you on, Junior. And I mean, at this point, you're just a regular to the show, man. You've been on here for a minute, man. So happy to have you. But Junior, man, I mean, in that round one, we talked about that Mavs and Jazz series. You know, you predicted, famously, you predicted the Mavs. A lot of people like me, Jay.
Mavs in six, too.
A lot of other people predicted the Jazz. And the Mavs ended up winning. What a crazy series. So after that, a crazy round one series. And we're going to do this round two. Prediction right now, man. We thought to ourselves, who better to have on the pod than our guy, the number one Mavs guy we know, man, Big Shot Pod. My guy Shava, how are you doing from the Big Shot Pod, man?
I am doing great. I have not felt this good in a while. And I'm excited for you guys because you guys are about to watch history. You're about to watch Luka win a championship. So,
That'd be awesome. I'm excited. Sign me up for that. I'd down to see that this year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, as you guys see, our guy Shava is coming on hot, man, with these hot takes immediately, man. So we are excited to have you on. And for all the fans, man, you guys wondering, for family out there wondering where our boy Jay Hill is. Unfortunately, Jay Hill could not make it to this episode. But don't worry, he will be back. And I told my boy Jay, I said, the family need to know your picks. So just tell me your picks and I'll run them off for you. So we'll still get Jay's picks and everything. So, but yeah, guys, we're just going to jump into these round two predictions and just kind of talk about these games. Let's just start off with honestly the best series. Again, the Celtics are again in the best series and the first game that's going to happen here, and that is tomorrow. On May 1st is going to be at 10 a.m. it's going to be Celtics versus the Bucks. All right, guys, let's get into this, man, because honestly this is going to be one heck of a series, and in my opinion, winner of this goes to the finals. Like winner of this series definitely represents the East and comes out of the finals. And I just kind of want to, before I really start talking about everything, I just want to talk about how evenly matched up this series is. I mean, yes, we know, Chris Middleton is out and that's a big bummer, man. But I mean, look, they split the season series. The Celtics right now are averaging 118 points per game to the Bucks, 115 points per game. The Celtics are shooting 48% from the field to the Bucks, 47% from the field. The Celtics are shooting 38% from three to the Bucks, 39% from three, man. So this is just going to be one of those bangers, one of those classic seven-game series, I guarantee. But Junior, Shava, talk to me about, some things you guys are seeing in the series, besides the Chris Middleton, I'm maybe going to miss the entire second round.
Man, you want to lead off with that one, Shava?
Yeah, I can go. First off, we were talking before we started recording, this is going to be a really fun matchup. I'm really excited to see Jason Tatum against Giannis. Jason Tatum, he's, slowly becoming a superstar before our eyes. You know, he always had the talent. He was just never consistent with it, and this season he is legitimately, someone that the Celtics can rely on. This last series against Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, I don't think he could have played any better. He could have shot a little bit better, but I mean, considering he was guarding Durant, he had so much energy he could give. But yeah, this Celtics team is really, really tough. Their defense is obviously amazing. The Bucks defense is really good too. You said, the Celtics are averaging 118 points, the Bucks 115 points, but I think this is going to be a really big defensive series. I think that we're really going to see, we might not even crack 100 points in most of these games. I think it's just going to be a really physical series. Like I said, the Nets were really easy to score on. They had no defense whatsoever, especially rim protection. So that was really easy for the Celtics to just go in and score in that series. This series against the Bucks is going to be really different, obviously, because of Giannis, Brook Lopez. Then they have their perimeter guys. They don't have Chris Middleton, like you said, but they do still have Jrue Holiday. They have other guys that they can rely on, like Pat Connaughton, all those guys. So Bobby Portis. So, I mean, this is going to be a really fun matchup. The Celtics are looking really tough. I mean, the Celtics and the Mavs were the two best teams in 2022. The Celtics were the number one team with the best defense. They've just ascended to be a legitimate contender. And like you said, John, whoever comes out of this series is going to the finals. So I'm really excited. I think I'm going to say that the Bucks are going to get it, but this is going to be a seven game series. And like I said, it's going to be really physical and it's just going to be really fun to watch.
Okay. Junior, talk to me.
Man, I mean, Shaba hit it on the head. It's going to be just a battle of a series, a battle of a series. I mean, the guys, these are evenly matched teams, great defensive teams too. That's going to be what's interesting to see because, yeah, like Shaba said, the Celtics just abused the Nets defense, but they're not going to be able to do that because you have on one side, you got Jrue Holiday, on the other side, Marcus Smart, like two great guard defenders. You got Giannis, who's defensive player of the year. You got Tatum, who's been playing great defense. I mean, he locked up KD. You look at this series and it's just like, I mean, like both you guys said, just evenly matched teams doing battle. Chris Middleton's injury hurts a lot. It's honestly going to be, that's actually, in my opinion, that could be the X factor in the series. You know, no Chris Middleton is going to make a big difference because you remember those finals games last year, Chris Middleton was putting up some good performance. Not like he was carrying by any means, because you saw Giannis drop 50 points in game six, but Chris Middleton was doing his part.
Yeah, he was crucial. Doing his part.
Absolutely. And I actually even want to talk about that, Jenner, because, you know, you talk about Chris Middleton being the X factor. And I mean, of course, him not being there is huge. It is a clear advantage for the Celtics, because for like, what is Chris Middleton to the Bucks? It's like when I look at it, he is get me a bucket at any time type player. He is their closer. Exactly. He is their closer. He is their top perimeter player. I know Jrue Holiday's out there, but if we're talking about perimeter players, I'm taking Chris Middleton, and that's he just means so much to the Bucks, man. And I think that now with Chris Middleton being out, the Celtics are going to be able to guard the Bucks similar to how they just guarded the Nets, which is really forcing these other guys to beat you, right? So the Celtics could have tried to do this whole force these other players to beat me with Chris Middleton, and you know he's knocking that down. But now the Celtics are going to do that and force players like Grayson Allen, Wesley Matthews, Pat Connaughton, Jordan Nwora, and put the pressure on them to make the shots, put the pressure on them to be those perimeter players, because I mean the defense is going to be focusing all their attention on Giannis, and in the perimeter they're going to be focusing all their attention on Drew, man. So that's why I think, like, I agree with you, Jenner, you know, you talking about Chris being such an X factor, because if those role players don't step up, man, if they don't step up as those perimeter players and shoot well, it's going to be like the Nets. It's going to be very tough. And then just another thing I want to add real quick, Jenner, when you know, you talk about just the importance of Chris Middleton, and yes, he wasn't carrying that Bucks in the finals team last year, but if you just take him out, they don't win the finals. Like,
they don't get to the finals, honestly.
They don't get to the
finals. He was closing games against, I think it was against the Sixers last year.
No, the Sixers lost to the Hawks. The Sixers lost to the Hawks.
Yeah. But he was carrying the team.
Throughout the playoffs.
I mean, they beat the Celtics last year. They beat Absolutely. The Celtics last year, yeah. And Middleton was closing those games. He was closing those games because they're gonna cover Giannis. Giannis is not a reliable shooter, so you know, Chris Middleton was out there closing games. So that's a critical miss. And honestly, it could kind of swing the series if he misses enough games. I mean, I think if you have Chris Middleton looking at being out for more than 3 games, which I think he will.
Look, the report is that he's going to miss the entire series. Like, yeah. that's the report right now. But I want to talk to you guys about this in this series. Like, all right, so does Tatum? I mean, shout out Tatum. You know, great job on Kevin Durant.
Yeah, one thing I got to say, Shaba, you said he's becoming a superstar. I say he's been a superstar this year. I think he made that step, and I think that now he solidified any remaining doubt with his last round. Sorry to interrupt. I just didn't want to forget that note.
Time out. Let me just say why I don't think he's a superstar yet. It's just, I've said he has the talent. He has games where he definitely looks like a superstar, but he's just not consistent enough throughout a whole season. You know, it always takes him 2-3 months to get into a groove in a season, blah, blah, blah. Some games he doesn't show up. This season, he has shown up every game. He's been consistent throughout, at least through 2022. Kind of like the Mavs, the Celtics had a rough start there. But once 2020, the year 2022 started, they went on a roll. That's why I think that, you know, Jason Tatum isn't a superstar yet, but we're seeing him become that through his consistency. So that's all I meant by him not being a superstar yet.
Yeah, JT is definitely like, if I, like I said, I think he is most people. I think he's like right on the edge though for a lot of people. And I think that like, that's a good place to have him. But hey, I think this playoff series though, like if he goes ahead and beats the Bucks, like how many performances is it going to take for you to throw him in that superstar category?
Now, if he beats the Bucks, he's a superstar.
And he's been cleaning up this season, this playoffs at least. Very good. I'd say he's probably been the best player in the playoffs, actually.
So let me 100% so far. I would say he's been the best player in the playoffs. But let me flip that. Junior, you asked a great question. You asked a great question. You said does Tatum winning this series, does that throw him to the superstar category? Great question. Let me flip it though. If Giannis pulls this out, is he on the Mount Rushmore?
Of the Bucks?
Of all time.
Oh, well, the Mount Rushmore is four people.
Okay. All right.
He's not top four.
He'd be top ten all time, I think.
Top ten.
Is he not itching in top five? Think about it. We're talking about a two-time MVP, a defensive player of the year, a NBA champion.
Top five,
Yeah. Who did not jump from team to team? Stayed on his team. We're talking about, again, a defensive player of the year, a MVP, a NBA champion. And if he does this, if he pulls out this series, there's in my books, there's just no way Giannis isn't considered a top five GOAT in my
book. It's tough. Look, there's five better players than Giannis, I think, career-wise. And remember, Giannis was the 15th pick in the draft. So it's not like he went to a horrible team when he started, right? I know the Bucks weren't anything, but it's not like, you know,
but usually he took him.
Number one overall picks go to a horrible team. And I don't know. Like, I think it's going to be a little bit tough to put on top five just because you have obviously LeBron's, you have your Kobe's, your Jordan's, your Kareem's, your Magic's. That's already five people. And then we haven't even got to Shaq, to Olajuwon, yeah. Who was doing this too, by the way. Olajuwon was just doing it before we were really old enough to know, or alive for some of us. But
Duncan, Kobe, yeah, I mean, Duncan, there's a lot. And those guys, a lot of those guys have multiple championships.
Yeah, Larry Bird was cleaning up back in the day too.
Look, I hear you, but Giannis isn't even close to being done. Isn't even close to being done.
Can he get there by the end of his career? Yeah, but like, can you say like Giannis wins this title when retires after this? I can't put him top five.
Oh man,
what he's done so far. So who are you bumping from the list?
I mean, look. In my opinion, and again, because the way I look at it is like these older players Hold on. Drop Giannis back when Kareem used to play. He would be the best player to ever touch the ball. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about this.
Maybe like Will Chamberlain because he played against plumbers, but like, I don't know about.
Yeah, I mean,
Kareem was playing in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe, if you put Giannis in the Bill Russell era, Giannis would be a god.
Yeah.
but those guys were not athletic like Giannis.
Agreed. The argument usually is the aggression, the dominance. Like they were just a lot more physical back in the day. You don't think Giannis can handle that physicality? Especially for 70s and 80s, above average skill set for those guys. He has an above average skill set. So I'm thinking if you place Giannis.
What is the era? Like is it 80s? Is it 70s? Because I could probably name you five players that are better than Giannis that played in the 90s or later, in my opinion.
Give me five.
Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Magic Duncan. Johnson. Duncan. Duncan. Shaquille O'Neal.
I'm not
going. O'Neal was extremely dominant.
Maybe I'm disrespecting Duncan, but I'm sorry. I'm not going to put Duncan.
Duncan was cold.
But look what Giannis is doing.
Duncan did everything but slower. Duncan was hitting your mid range shots. Duncan was locking up the best big man on the other team. Duncan was solid. He was getting mid range. He was a great defensive presence. He was extremely consistent. I don't know. He's got four or five rings to go with it.
I think he had
a great team, but so does Giannis. So does Giannis. Like Chris Middleton, and I know Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday. They're not Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, and Budenholzer.
Or Budenholzer. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. And I get that. I get that. But I think you could definitely make an argument for Tim Duncan being better than Giannis. I personally rank Tim Duncan over Giannis for now. But like you said, when it's all said and done, I mean, how old is Giannis? Like 28? Like he's still got a good couple of years still. So when it's all said and done, maybe you could look at placing on top five. But just after this season, I don't know. To be honest with you, John, I might even scare you when I say this, but I don't even know if I'd have to really think about if he'd even be top 10 after this season. Whoa. If he took and retired this season, there's a lot of good players. The league's had a lot of good players.
He's definitely top 20 right now.
But top 20 for sure.
Probably 10, top 15. I wouldn't go there yet. Top 10, no. So, maybe top 15, yeah. But 10, then, I don't know. At the end of his career, I can see.
At the end of his career, he's got the shot. Nice. But then another thing, too, is remember, there are active players that might be ahead of him. You might have Steph Curry ahead of him. You might have Kevin Durant ahead of him. I mean, obviously LeBron, I think that's just general consensus. But
if Giannis beats the Bucks, if Giannis beats the Celtics
without Chris Middleton
in the series, I'm putting him above KD. Not as a scorer, but as an overall player. If I got to make a pick, if I got to go out there, he's a great defender. He can literally do everything on the court, and he wasn't the greatest shooter, and he's at least a decent shooter though. You can't leave him open. You can't leave him open.
Yeah. You can make the argument he's not even in his prime yet. He's still, you know, improving. I mean, this season he's come with a jumper. You know, it's not great, but it's consistent enough. Absolutely. So he's getting better.
I think he's the type of player, like, you can't leave him open, but I think if you put some contest on a shot, like, he's not so knocked down like you would, you know. You contest, there's some players like Kate, like you said, Kate, obviously KD is probably one of the most unguardable players of all time. So maybe that's not the best example, but you could look at it. There's a lot of players in the league that you could probably contest a shot and they still make it, you know. And I don't think Giannis is there, but I'm not asking him to be a shooter. He's a 6'10", 6'11" power forward whose game is predicated on strength and agility. So I don't need him to be a shooter, but it's like you look that there's a lot of players in that top 10 list who kind of do it all, are athletic, are physical, are strong players. So it's,
man, I mean, hey, look, guys, look, I mean, that's insane. I mean, I just need people to give my boy Giannis his praise and respect, man, because he definitely doing it, man. But
one thing before we leave this real quick, though, if we put Kareem in today's age, would he not do well? Because I think he would.
Yeah, he would. Skyhook
is unstoppable in any era.
That Skyhook would do well, but it just the skill play was it's just on another level.
I mean
as far as just as everything. Look, this might not be the greatest example because the Nets just got bounced, but Bruce Brown is a guard who has this skill and the ability to guard bigs. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he's going to be guarding that Skyhook, but I'm saying that his skill set is so, like, he has quick feet. He's smart. All these things. Marcus Smart, he oftentimes is guarding the other team's bigs. And that's because the skill set. I just think that these players nowadays are just too skilled. I think the last generation that you can start seriously, genuinely being like, oh, like, this guy may be better than that. And I think it's that Larry and Larry Magic. It was Larry Magic.
Okay, so the 80s.
Yeah, Larry Magic and the rest is just like, man, he's too old. Like, you're not.
Mind you, Kareem played in the 80s, and he was like in his late 30s, and he was giving it to them boys. He was like LeBron out here. He was like 36, 37, and like he wasn't prime Kareem, but he was still like, I mean, there's a reason he's a top scorer of all time. And it's not just because he played for, what, 20, 22 years. He's a consistent scorer. He's definitely a bucket getter.
So real quick before we end the topic here on this series, if you're the Celtics, how would you defend the Bucks? Would you put Jason Tatum on Giannis? Because that's gonna take some of his offense away from Tatum. Because that's one hell of an assignment to have to guard Giannis. Yeah. Would you try and, you know, see if Robert Williams can do it? Al Horford? Who would you put on Giannis?
Me personally, that was actually the next question I was having. Do you have Tatum on Giannis? Me personally, I don't go with Tatum on Giannis just because Tatum is so important for the Celtics to be great offensively that you don't want him getting tired. You don't want him getting worn out trying to guard a player like Giannis is going to bump into him, give it to him. I think you, I think you try to go the whole Time Lord Rob Williams way. But I think you just kind of have to do a team collective thing, man. You got to constantly be building that wall. You got to be throwing bodies. I know Marcus Smart isn't big enough, but Marcus Smart needs to be there to double every time on the catch. Every time Giannis catches the ball, they need to be harassing him, and get back. I've said this before on this pod. The Celtics have amazing defensive rotations. I don't see them miss defensive rotations rarely. I rarely see them miss defensive rotations. So I think that – You really try to go Rob Williams on him, but that's your one guy is not going to work. You have to throw multiple bodies at him. He has to definitely see Al Horford in the paint every single time when he gets down low. I know Al Horford's like 50, but the man's like, you know, he's a big body down low, and that's where Giannis is going to be looking to get to, man. So I think that Al Horford's got to be up there big, standing like a wall. They got to build a wall, man. You don't guard Giannis one on one.
I agree with a little bit of a collective effort, but I think Jason Tatum is taking the bulk of those minutes defensively. Because I agree, you don't want to get him tired, but at the same time, you need to contain Giannis. Because if you don't contain Giannis, I mentioned this 50 point game in the finals. I'm pretty sure he scored 50 out of the Bucks' 105 points. Like, so it's not just like let him get his and then everyone else like and they'll lose the game. Like, no, you really need to have your best player guarding your best players. Personally, if I'm the Bucks, I'm definitely putting Giannis on Tatum. And if I'm the Celtics, I think I would do a collective effort, but I would definitely have the bulk of the minutes on Tatum because he's a great defender. He did a great job on Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant wasn't an easy task, and they swept those boys. So, you know, I think that you got to just put best player on best player. And that's what everybody wants to see, too.
Man, absolutely.
What about you, Chava? How are you doing it?
Yeah, I would probably do the team as a whole. And then in the fourth quarter, I would probably throw Tatum on Giannis. But I was just going to, one last thing is that this is going to be such a fun defensive matchup on both sides. You know, Jrue Holiday against Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart was critical for the Celtics against the Nets. You know, Jrue Holiday, players are shooting 17% worse than their normal field goal percentage when Jrue Holiday is defending them. So, you know, Marcus Smart, he's not going to be getting 20 points, 11 assists like he did in that last game against the Nets. So, you know, it's really going to come down to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, really. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough defensively having to put your star on the other star just because you don't want them to lose that offensive side of their game. But yeah, I would probably have to put Tatum on Giannis at some point in the game, probably in the fourth quarter when it really, really gets rough out there.
Okay. All right. So look, guys, so we talk about the series, we talk about some X factors, who's going to guard who. We even digressed a little bit and got into if Giannis is going to be top 10, top 5. But you know what we haven't done yet? We haven't put our picks on wax. And Junior, you know what we do over here, man. We like to put stuff on wax. We don't ride the fence. We are straight up about our answer and we stick to it. So look, guys, with Chris Middleton being out and the Celtics being the number one defense in the league and having so many bodies to be able to throw at Giannis, and really what I think they're going to do is they're just going to, you know, build that wall and really force Pat Connaughton, Wesley Matthews, and just Jordan Nwora, Grayson Allen, all these other guys to have those big games. And yes, Grayson Allen just had a career series last series going up against the number one defense in the Celtics since January, since 2022. And without Chris Middleton over there, man, I just can't see the Bucks getting it done, man. And it's crazy to say because I had the Bucks winning the championship. I really did. I really had the Bucks winning the championship. But Junior, you hit it on the head by saying you take Chris Middleton out of that Bucks team, they don't even make it to the finals. So you take Chris Middleton out of this Bucks team, I don't think that they make it, man. So unfortunate because I was wrong about my pick. But I'm gonna go with my pick being Celtics in seven. I think no matter what, it's going to a 7-game series, but not having that playmaker in Chris Middleton is going to hurt, man. But Junior, what's your pick?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You said everything I was going to say. Fully healthy teams, I would have Bucks probably in seven. Without Chris Middleton, I think it's too tall of an ask. I was thinking Celtics in six, maybe seven. We can't ride the fence here. I'm going Celtics in seven.
Well, I'm going to be the odd man out. I just believe in Giannis. Giannis, to me, is the best player in the NBA right now. I don't think that Tatum is going to be able to stop him. I think he's going to, you know, give him some trouble, but I don't think he's going to stop him. I think that the Bucks are going to pull this out somehow. I think as a collective unit, they have so many guys that can step up. Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton, Grayson Allen, Jrue Holiday. I mean, all these guys can all step in, make big shots. So I'm going to go with the Bucks in seven.
I want the Bucks to win. I mean, put that on the record. So like,
me too.
Me too.
Cool, but... I mean, I think the Celtics are going to win, but yeah, I would rather the Bucks win and Giannis get another championship. And our boy Jay Hill also has Celtics in seven. So we got
we all got seven game series at least. So this
I think it's going to seven games for sure. But hey, I just want to say it's funny because we were all so confident that the Nets and Celtics were going to seven, and that was the only sweep out of the first round. So just want to add that.
But you guys saw the stats, right? That they were all like decided by like a cumulative 14 points or something. Yeah. Like the margin of victory when you add them all up was like 14 points. Like, it's crazy. It was the closest sweep I've ever seen. But a sweep nonetheless. So
man.
It was incredible. I got to take my hats off to the Celtics for that.
Yeah, so the Celtics just finished up a great series, and now they got another great series to look forward to. So now let's get to the next series here, guys. All right, guys. So let's go ahead and get into this next series, man. It's Warriors versus the Grizzlies, man. Unfortunately, our boy Jay could not be here. You know, he's Dub Nation strong, man. Dub Nation faithful. But let's talk about this series, guys. I think this is going to be a great guard play in this series, man. I mean, we have Ja Morant, we have Desmond Bane, we have Curry, Clay, Poole. I mean, we just did the guard play is definitely going to be crazy, man. And you know NBA playoffs is here when teams have only 36 hours to turn around and be ready to play. I mean, the Grizzlies just yesterday, because I mean, we're recording on Saturday, just yesterday beat the Timberwolves, and on Sunday, which is going to be tomorrow, they gotta turn around and get ready to play, man. But that's how NBA playoffs go, man. You know, that's how you get rewarded for being a dominant team. You know, the Warriors were able to put the Nuggets out, and they had a couple days to rest, man. But I just wanted to say that because that's how you know NBA playoffs is here, man. But I want to talk about some key things, man. I think for the Grizzlies, I think some key things for them is going to be is to find a way to keep an extremely balanced attack. And like, what I mean by that is Like, I mean, the Warriors, it's no surprise that they're not the greatest team at defending the big position. And yes, you know, Draymond Green's been doing a good job at that, but he's only one person. So I think the Grizzlies always need to have at least two shooting bigs, which they have. They have multiple shooting bigs on their team. They need to have at least two shooting bigs out there to force the Warriors defense to decide whether you want to stop that paint presence or if you're going to stop the 3-point shooting of the Grizzlies, man. And I also think Triple J is going to be huge to that. You know, when I talk about shooting bigs, he is the number one shooting big that they have on their team that really is going to help them be able to stretch the floor. The only problem with Triple J is he isn't too consistent, gets in way too much foul trouble. In the last series, fouled out of two games. So that right there is a key for the Grizzlies.
He has five in the last game.
Exactly, right? So that's a key for the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies need to keep that on check, keep that on lock, because if he's not out there, I don't think they really stand a chance against his Warriors team. And another key point that I got to bring up is this second chance points, man. The Grizzlies right now, they rank first in the league for offensive rebounding, while the Warriors rank 27th in the league for offensive rebounding. So I think that the rebounding, hitting the glass, who's dominating that every game is going to be a key factor. I mean, these second chance buckets, as basketball players, we know that, you know, that's huge. It's how you get back into games. And then especially if the Warriors decide to run that death lineup of Curry, Poole, Clay, Wiggins, and Draymond, which is, you know, good lineup, all good players, but it's just extremely small. And I'm interested to see how that's going to go on the glass. I think that's a key for the Grizzlies to definitely keep Triple J out there, be big on the glass. And I think for the Warriors, it's just flexing their depth, man. I mean, Curry, Clay, Poole, Andrew Wiggins. And when Andrew Wiggins shows up, the Warriors legitimately have like a serious big three. But the problem is he doesn't show up all the time. That's his big problem. But I think the biggest key factor for the Warriors here is Andrew Wiggins being the Andrew Wiggins that we know and is the all-star.
Yeah. All-star Andrew Wiggins is going to be the difference maker. I think that, I mean, look, honestly, the Warriors are just on. They just have, I think they have too good of a team to be losing to the Grizzlies personally. And I don't think it's really going to take them more than 6 games, I think, to win the series. The Grizzlies have been played particularly well against the Warriors this season. They're 3-1 against the Warriors. But the problem is regular season basketball is one thing, playoff basketball is another, you know. And, I mean, you have guys – a lot of the Warriors team is young, and they have had a lot of turnover since the titles – the teams that won them titles. But the core is the same, and, you know, those guys are winners. Those guys are winners, and you know, they have championship experience. And the Grizzlies, while they did make a playoff run last year as well, they're a young team. And, you know, at some point, experience plays a big factor. And the only thing that I think could be beneficial to the Grizzlies is the fact that – because they're young, it does seem to be the healthiest team so far this season. They have had to deal with the least amount of injuries because, you know, they have young, fit athletes. And I think that that's obviously the best type of ability, like we always say, is availability. So, you know, the Grizzlies being out there and, you know, just being able to have a healthy team, they'll put up a fight. But it's tough to see them. It's tough to see them winning more than 2 games in this series, just because the Warriors are just out. They outmatched them, in my opinion.
Yeah, I am not impressed with the Grizzlies at all so far this playoffs, given they are inexperienced. But I mean, they had trouble with the Wolves. Now the Wolves were the number one offense in the league, but we saw how bad the Wolves can be, how low their basketball IQ was. Ja Morant didn't show up for that first series, not the way he should have. Desmond Bain was huge. He averaged 24 points per game on 50, 48, 90% shooting in that first round. But, you know, who's going to stop Steph Curry? Steph Curry has put up big numbers this season against the Grizzlies. He's putting up 36.3 points, 7 rebounds, 7.3 assists on 64.3% true shooting.
That's
you can't, that's yeah, you cannot get better than that. So, you know, we have to see, you know, what Ja can do, who's going to contain Steph. You brought up Andrew Wiggins. Look, if the Warriors, if they're one thing, if they have to rely on Andrew Wiggins to win the series, they already lost. Okay. So let's not, you know, go overboard by trying to rely on Andrew Wiggins. But like you said, Junior, I mean, the Warriors are just so experienced. They have so much playoff experience. They have played so many series like this. And, you know, we just saw the Grizzlies get out of their first series. So, you know, it's going to be a tough one. But, you know, the biggest strength for the Grizzlies during the regular season was fast break, second chance points, you know, just full court offense. In the playoffs, we all know the game slows down. You play half court offense most of the time. And that is where the Grizzlies have the biggest problem. They want to, you know, run and gun. They, you know, they're trying to go up and down the court as fast as they can. In the playoffs, it just doesn't happen that way. So, you know, I think that the Warriors are going to take advantage of that. Although the Warriors do like playing fast pace as well. But the Warriors know how to do it efficiently. And yeah, the Grizzlies are still, you know, trying to work those kinks out. Like you said, Jaren Jackson Jr., he's going to be big, but man, he cannot foul out in 18 minutes. The other game, he fouled out in 18 minutes. That's just crazy to me. You know, he's going to be their number one rim protector. So, you know, really they just have to kind of swarm that three point line to keep Steph, Clay, you know, all those shooters off of that 3-point line and make them attack the basket and go up against, you know, their rim protector and Jaren Jackson Jr. I think that that's what the Grizzlies need to do to put themselves in a better position to win the series.
Absolutely, man. And one thing that I'll add is something I definitely am interested to see. I'm interested to see how the Warriors starting lineup is going to look like, because we usually know Klay Thompson hides Curry on defense by, you know, he usually takes the better guard defender on the other team and he guards them. Cause I mean, Curry just isn't the greatest defender, and Klay Thompson is a great defender. while I think John Morant is a better player than Desmond Bane, and like I think everyone would agree with me, Desmond Bane played much better in that last series. And I don't think Desmond Bane nor John Morant is a good matchup for Curry to be defending.
Yeah.
Just isn't a good defender. But with all that being said, I still think the Warriors are going to be able to pull this out. Jenner, did you say six or five?
I said six.
You said six. Okay, I'm pushing one more. I'm gonna go seven. And the reason I'm gonna go seven is like I said, that Grizzlies height. I mean, especially if the Warriors run out depth lineup, the Grizzlies second chance buckets that they're gonna get. And more than anything, Shaba, you said it. John Morant played like booty cheeks in that last series. And yes, it was the Wolves, and the Warriors are so much better than the Wolves. John Morant, the Grizzlies still got it done. Now, if you keep all that there and add John Morant, generational talent, I think that at least can bode you good for three games. And then that last game, that seventh game, I think game sevens, you know what they usually are to me? Who's the best player? Who's going to rise to the occasion? And I think the Warriors not only have a deeper team, but they also have just the best player in the series and that experience.
And probably the second best player, too. I know. Yeah. Make Kevin argument, though. Like, Clay Thompson is nice. No,
it's a very good argument. It's a very good argument. But they have more of the better players than the Grizzlies. They're a deeper team. And sure. And with the experience, Shaba, you said it best, man. I think that they have the experience to play in a half court type offense. They have the experience to run fast pace, so they can really match the Grizzlies in any way. So I'm gonna go Warriors in seven for this one. What you got, Shaba?
Like I said, that last series did not make me feel good about the Grizzlies, so I'm gonna go Warriors in five.
Ooh.
Okay, you got five, six, and seven. Look, the only thing I think that would help the Grizzlies a lot is the fact that they were down by double digits, I think, in like every single one of their wins that series. Like, I think it was like 13 was the smallest deficit. So one thing that's for sure is they got used to being in a position where their backs are up against the wall and responding well. And they did that every time. Now, obviously, like both of you guys said, responding against the Minnesota Timberwolves is one thing. Against the Golden State Warriors is a very different thing. So we'll have to see if they're going to have enough gas in the tank to get there. But honestly, it was like, I think Desmond Bane was given an interview after game six, and they brought up how much like the Grizzlies are constantly, you know, in a losing position where they come out and win. And Desmond Bane said that they don't want to be in that position. You know, they do it because they have to, they can get out of it, but they don't want to be there. And they have to be careful because being there, like we said, being there against the Wolves is one thing. Against the Warriors is a completely different thing. Like, the Warriors are good enough to keep teams there. Absolutely. So it's going to be something that the Grizzlies are just going to have to learn how to really get out the gate running and keep running, right? And I think that is going to maybe get them two games. That's why I put them in six.
Okay. All right. And then our boy.
Just real quick. The Grizzlies cannot afford to go down 26 points to the Warriors. Man, they're not going to come back from that.
They're not coming back from the Warriors. Yeah.
So if they need to stay in the game.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. But I like that.
Go ahead, Jen.
You're going to say I was just going to say, Ali, I like that. They're not coming back from a 26 point deficit to the Warriors.
No, but I just wanted to say something, though, about this first round series. So, like, not predicting the next series anymore, but Grizzlies Timberwolves was a great series. Like, I think we're seeing the makings of a rivalry, I think. Like, I think that they're both young teams that are going to be good for the next couple of years. I mean, they are like the two youngest teams in the league, right? Or I think the Grizzlies are the youngest and the
Rockets.
Aside from the Rockets, right? But basically, it's two young teams in the league
and the playoffs.
Exactly. They're going to be battling it out for years to come. Like, I think this is the makings of a rivalry. Like, we could see, you know, maybe they're going to end up getting a couple of primetime games next season because. This series, like the guys were going at him. You saw John Morant was getting booed in Minnesota, and Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards were getting booed in Memphis. So it's going to become a good rivalry, I think.
Real quick though, just ending on this note, Anthony Edwards is going to be a star.
That guy is legit. He is so cool. That's fearless.
I will say, guys, like, I don't know if Pat Bev should have been taking a shot with the game on the line. Like, I know they doubled Anthony Edwards, but that shot that he took, basically the last shot that the Wolves had in this last game, where I think he had like a little bit of a lane, but then he like dribbled back, stepped back and took it. Like he pump fake, the defender went by, he took a three. Like Patrick Beverley's not the person who needs to be taking shots with the series on the line. Like
no.
I personally believe the ball should have somehow made its way back to Anthony Edwards, or at the very least, Carl Anthony Towns or D'Angelo Russell, but really should have been Anthony Edwards, in my opinion.
Yeah, the best player needs to have the ball in their hands.
The Grizzlies doubled them, though. They closed it down. They said they forced Pat Beverley to take the shot. So and it's that, the same thing with the Jazz, too. They forced Bogdanovich to take that shot.
And that – the way they stopped the ball from being able to get to Anthony Edwards, they need to do that on a consistent basis against the Warriors with Klay, with Steph, with Jordan Poole. They really need – the problem is that the Warriors
– Everybody can knock the shot.
Everybody can do that.
You got Gary Payton II coming off the bench hitting down shots. That's the thing, that the Warriors are incredibly deep. So man, it's just like you shut one guy down, they got hundreds and hundreds of options. So,
man, Gary Payton,
a tough task.
Gary Payton, the second, I bet we're going to see a lot of him guarding Ja Morant, and that is going to be really fun.
That is going to be so much fun. It's going to be fun to see that. It's going to be fun to see when Klay Thompson tries, it's going to be interesting to see when Klay Thompson tries to get out there on them. Because just man, this is going to be a super exciting series, and then definitely want to include here for my boy. This is Jay. Jay has Warriors in five, so he's agreeing with you, Sean.
He's feeling confident.
He's feeling confident, man. My boy got Warriors in five. I mean, I don't blame him. Warriors are looking good right now, so all right. So then let's keep it pushing, man, and let's get to the next series. Shava, this is why we got you on the pod. I mean, you are a guy, Shava, you know what I'm saying? We love to just have you on, but this is why we really have you on the pod. It's the Suns versus Mavs series. And honestly, Shava, I'm just going to give you the floor. You know, go ahead.
Floor is yours, brother.
Floor is yours, my brother. Talk to me about whatever you feel, whatever you see.
Okay, so I was telling John, when we weren't recording, I was telling him that this Mavericks team is really different. Okay. Everyone, and I talked about this too with you, you know, everyone's saying, oh, the Suns have won the last nine games against the Mavs. The Suns own the Mavs, blah, blah, blah. The Suns have not seen this Mavericks team. This Mavs team was the second best defensive team in the league since January 2022 behind the Celtics. We ended the season, I think, seventh, something like that, because we were really bad at the beginning. We are the best. We're the best team at defending the 3-point line, which is going to be huge against the Suns, because the Suns, their strengths are 3-pointers and jumpers. They don't really attack the basket as much. So the Mavs are really going to have to make them do that. Now, the problem with that is that the Mavs really don't have much interior defense. So that is going to be a problem, because we only have two bigs. We only have Dwight Powell and Maxi Kleber. And whenever one of those guys gets into foul trouble, we have to put Dorian Finney-Smith at the five, and he's like 6'8". So our big thing is small ball. It worked against the Jazz. I think it can work against the Suns. I don't think that DeAndre Ayton is way better than Rudy, at least offensively. Yes. So they can at least rely on him to make some shots. But, you know, DeAndre Ayton is, you know, he's not very good in contact. You know, he's not as physical. So I think that we can do well with that. But yeah, this Mavs team, we have Luka Doncic, who is going to be, he's going to end easily. We were talking about Giannis, where he stands now. At the end of his career, Luka's going to be a top 10 easy. And I would even push top five.
Wow.
Jalen Brunson.
He's going to need some rings for that, Shava.
He's going to get it. Jalen Brunson was huge. He came out as a star. Coming into this series, everyone was saying, oh, Jalen's going to make $20 million. He's going to easily make 30, okay? So the Mavs better pay him here in the offseason. Jalen Brunson, 27.8 points, 4.8 rebounds, 4.2 assists, 48% from the field, 36% from three, 85% from the free throw line. He was huge. I mean, even with Luka in the game, once Luka came back, sometimes I didn't feel as comfortable with Luka handling the ball. I wanted Jalen to take it, because it feels like Jalen is just instant buckets. He just goes into the paint he was going up against Rudy Gobert, the 2-3-time defensive player of the year, the number one shot blocker, and Jalen Brunson was just taking him to town. So we got Luka, we got Jalen. We have Reggie Bullock, who is an incredible perimeter defender. We have Dorian Finney-Smith, who is the second best defender in the playoffs. I mean, this team is just completely different. We were the slowest paced team in the regular season, which is actually good because, like I said, in the playoffs, the game slows down. So we're really good at half court offense. So we're really going to work that well. And look, the Pelicans exposed the Suns here in the first round. The Suns are not this, you know, majestic team. Like, everyone is talking about the Suns like they were the Warriors in 2016. You know, this Mavs team can really expose this team. And I think that I think this is going to be a 7-game series. And I'm going to say Luka is clearly going to be the best player in this series. Now, he is going to have Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson on him. But no one can stop Luka. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but no one. Luka went up against Kawhi and Paul George and Patrick Beverley, the three of the best defenders in the whole league. And he ended with like 48 points in a game 7. So I'm not worried about that. But yeah, this Mavs team, like I said, we are completely different. We're a great defensive team. We can score. We're a great 3-point shooting team. We're reliable now. I mean, everything about this Mavericks team screams 2011 to me. There's so many coincidences that are so alike, except Dirk, but we do have Luka Doncic. So look, as long as we have Luka, I'm not worried. The number one thing though is Jalen Brunson. He is going to have a lot more length to go up against with the Suns, and that has been a problem for Jalen Brunson in the past. So, you know, if Jalen can, you know, just keep attacking and, you know, get shifty with it, you know, he has to have maybe even the best footwork in the entire league if you watch Jalen Brunson down in the paint. So, you know, if he can just expose those guys, as long as Jalen can continue, I'm not going to expect him to average almost 30 points, but if he can stay in that 20-25 point range, along with Luka doing what he does in our defense, you know, as long as we can run the Suns players off of that 3-point line, I think we're golden. And I think that the Mavs are going to get this in 7.
Wow. Look, Shabba, look, hey, I love it. I love it. And I love the Mavs. I love Luka. Luka is my guy. But I just look, when I look at this series, I look back to you know, that Jazz and Mavs series, and I give all the respect to Jalen Brunson and all the especially because prior to that series, I said exactly what you were talking about. I said that I think that the length of the Jazz is just going to be a little bit too much for Jalen Brunson, but he proved me wrong. Just took advantage of that drop coverage. And I give all respect to Josh Green, who was out there doing his thing. Trey Burke, Maxi Kleber, all these, you know, bigs that stretch the floor that can shoot. Because to be real with you, in my opinion, like that was the reason that the Mavs won. They took advantage of that drop coverage, right? Because Gobert could not come up. If Gobert came up, he's getting burnt by every time. And I mean, we saw in that series multiple times where they would get the switch, simply just come back, reset, and just go straight by Gobert, because he can't stay with nobody in the perimeter. And the bigs, right, like a Maxi Kleber, Josh Green, all they would do is they would just pick and pop all day, and it was a bucket. But DeAndre Ayton is a different beast, man. We saw him last year in the NBA Finals. In the NBA Finals, staying with Drew. I'm not saying as he was guarding Drew Holiday, but there was multiple possessions where he was staying with Drew Holiday out in the perimeter. And he's a great rim protector. So we're talking about somebody who can protect the rim and now doesn't have to play that drop coverage. So I don't think Jalen Brunson get as many of those mid-rangers that he got. I don't think Maxi goes off like the way he did, because he doesn't get those easy pick and pops. Josh Green doesn't get those. Trey Burke can't just simply exploit the other team's big just because he's hella quick, right? I think that all these things are just going to be a little bit too much. And also the Suns don't really make too many team mistakes, man. I mean, CP3 is the
neither do we.
Agreed.
We barely turn over the ball. We had two games where we got less than 3 turnovers, 2 games against Utah. And that's normal. We're the lowest turnover team in the league this season. That's a fact.
But you know what I think? What I think though is that the Suns are just better than the Jazz in every single category. So yeah, everything is just going to, like, you have Gobert, Ayton is better, right? And then we're talking about bigs. You're talking about guards. You have Mitchell, Booker is better. You have Conley, CP3 is better. Like, I think it's just going to get increasingly more difficult. Like, that's the part that I think is going to force more turnovers as well. So,
and here's my point right here. This is everything that. This is the reason that I have the Suns winning, and it is no disrespect to the Mavs, but the reason why I have the Suns winning is because they are extremely switchable, man. We know how much the Mavs love to run that pick and roll. They love to just simply get switches and simply get mismatches and exploit them. But the Suns are switchable. Ayton can stay outside. Mikhail can stay outside. Jay Crowder can stay out. So they have so many bodies to throw at Luka, and I just think that with them having such a deep team, really players that contribute one through 15 contributes. I think the Suns are going to be a little too deep in there, and they're going to, in my opinion, I think the Suns are going to take it in five.
In five.
That's what, man. I think this, man. Look, guys,
Shava's going to log out.
Hold on. Hey, Shava, I forgot something actually, Shava. When I went on your pod, okay. I talked about this on my pod, but when I went on your pod, great time. Hey, everybody, make sure you go check out the Big Shot Pod. Amazing podcast. Had a great time talking to them about first round predictions. We were talking about all NBA teams. You did not put Devin Booker in your all NBA first team. Okay. Do you now see the importance of this? Because your point that day was, Devin Booker, when he didn't have all these players on the Suns, they were ass. Okay, well, first of all, I mean, basketball is played a 5-on-5 sport, but now you just took Devin Booker out of the Suns because he was hurt with that hamstring injury. And that point you made earlier about the Pelicans exposed him, I don't think the Pelicans did anything. I think Devin Booker wasn't playing. And the fact that Devin Booker wasn't playing, the Pelicans were just able just to score more. And I mean, and you saw the importance of deep book, but did that not prove it to you? Like the Pelicans, the team that should not have been there, the team that started the season 0-14, got two games on the Suns, but the two games that deep book was not there, does that not to you prove his importance?
Yeah, I never said he wasn't important to the Suns. I said that he wasn't a first or second all NBA player. That's not all I said.
Second?
Nope.
You got four guards above him this season?
Yeah. I think Devin Booker is obviously important. I mean, he's their number one shot maker. But like I said, the Mavs run people off the three-point line. Devin Booker and Chris Paul are the only guys that can really consistently get their own shot. Everything else is catch and shoot. We run these guys off the three-point line. So there's not going to be as much catch and shoot. So it's really just going to be up to Devin Booker on a who knows how bad his leg is. He did play the last game, but he wasn't great. Chris Paul, you know, he shows that you can – the Pelicans showed that you can shake up Chris Paul. Now, he did come back in that last series or in that last game. Yeah, he did come back for that, which is fine. But – like I said, we have great defense. We can run guys off of the three-point line. Like I said, it's their number one strength, three-pointers and jumpers. And that's our best. That's what we do best on defense, is running guys off those. So really it's going to be up to Cam Johnson, Jay Crowder, all those guys creating their own shot. And they're not that great at that. So, you know, I'm confident with the Mavs, and like I said, Mavs in seven.
Man, Jenner, what you got?
Man, I mean, this is a tough series. I think that the Mavericks have the best player in the series, and that's Luka Doncic. I think he's far superior player to Devin Booker. So that's definitely a benefit. But like you said, the Suns are very, very deep. And not that the Mavericks are not deep. I just think the Suns are deeper. They have a lot of great contributors coming off the bench, and so do the Mavericks. So I don't think I definitely don't have it going in five. Like, I think I'd have to give the Mavericks a couple more games, but we have to see, one, how is Devin Booker going to be? Because if Devin Booker is going to be, you know, 50% of what he usually plays, like if he plays like how he played in the game he came back, I could see it going to seven, and maybe even going up Dallas in seven if Devin Booker plays the way he's played. The thing is, I don't think he will. I think we're going to get a little bit better performance from Devin Booker throughout the series. So I actually think we'd probably see the Suns winning this in 6 or 7. I definitely don't have it being under 6. I'd probably say, look, I think Luka could definitely take probably one game in Phoenix, definitely a game at home. The Suns probably take a game in Dallas. That's 2 games. I'm going to say Suns in 7. But look, Chaba, this, I want the Mavericks to win. Don't get me wrong. I don't
Chaba's like, I'm never coming back. I want
the Mavericks to win. I just think that the Suns have a really, really good team and they're very deep. And again, not that the Mavericks are not. I just feel that the Suns are a deeper team. And I mean, you see, you're still getting valuable minutes from JaVale McGee when Ayton is not on the floor. You're still getting valuable minutes from you know, all the role players. Mikal Bridges, as John says, he's like the ultimate role player, right? And I think that there's a lot of pieces in Phoenix that you can, like John said, they're a very switchable team. And I think that's going to, a lot of these pieces are going to kind of be able to fall into place and help propel the Mavericks to the Western Conference Finals. That's what I think. But it's going to be a good series, though. I'm not trying to count out the Mavericks at all. Like, it's not a slight on the Mavericks. It's just the Suns are a very good team.
And look, when we played the Suns earlier this season, Luka didn't play for 2 games. It was like a 2-point game, 3-point game in 3 of those 4 games. One of them it was like our first game and it was just not good. Yeah. But, you know, like I said, and everyone talks about, oh, the Suns are such a clutch team. They're the number one clutch team. In 2022, the Mavs were the number one clutch team. So, you know, like
I think the Suns are a clutch team. I just think they're a good team. Like, I think that they kill them early on and they keep their foot in their nets. And I think that they're that type of team.
Yeah, all I'm saying is this is a completely different Mavs team than anything that we've seen the Suns play up against when it comes to Dallas. But we got the best player in the series. I'm not worried. Mavs in 7.
I love it. I love it, Chaba. Hey, Chaba, let me ask you something. Honestly, are the Mavs championship ready?
I think they can win a championship. I legitimately think,
like, that we against you think that, like, and not even just okay out the West, yes, but I wouldn't say I agree with that, but I'm not far off. But you think that they could beat the Celtics in 7 or Bucks in the 7-game series?
I think we can. I think that we can. I'll admit I'd rather play the Celtics than the Bucks when healthy, but I think I've been saying it for the last month or two, this Dallas team is so different. There's just a different energy to them. Their defense is amazing. Their offense, they're making shots, they're consistent. Our role players are all stepping up. Dorian Finney-Smith has just been amazing defensively and offensively. I mean, the guy's 30 years old and he still adds stuff to his game every season, and he was undrafted and now he's making $55 million, you know, contract. So this, and look, Jason Kidd has been amazing. I was not happy with the hire when we got Jason Kidd.
I remember you were on the pod when they hired him.
Yeah, but he has completely turned this team around. I don't know what his speeches are at halftime whenever we're down, but anytime we're down at the half, Jason Kidd gives some sort of godly speech and the Mavs come back and always come back to win. So I'm not worried. I legitimately think this Mavs team is a contender. And you know what? I love that everyone is counting us out because we always play better when we're underdogs. Whenever we have more pressure on us, that's when, you know, we do kind of get too confident. But, you know, I love being the underdog. So, yeah, Mavs in 7. We got this.
I love it. I love it. And definitely be a good series. And then our boy Jay has Suns in 6 here. So we will definitely be looking forward to that. So, then, guys, let's get to this last series here, which, honestly, I was really excited for until I got the news of Joel Embiid. But that's the Heat versus 76ers. I mean, Joel Embiid, I'll go first because I'm relatively quick on this one, honestly, guys. Like, Joel Embiid out indefinitely with an orbital fracture. For my people out there who did not go to college, it's a face fracture. He fractured his face. And that changes, like, literally everything. So I
had a concussion.
And the concussion. There we go. And his finger. Remember, his finger is still hurt. Right, he's beat up. Right. So I had the Sixers winning before this. Right. But this indefinitely is just so unsure. Like, there's no timeline. It's not saying like one or two games. Like, even if he missed this, even if they said like he's going to miss the first two games, but he'll come back, I would have faith that the 76ers could pull this out, because again, I really like that pairing of Harden and Joel. I know Harden hasn't been all that, you know, he's made out to be, but I think that he can put it on. He can put that pressure on. But that indefinitely is just so like unsure, and I don't really know what to base my take off. So I have to base my take on like what I'm going to say based on what's there, man. And that's what's there and what's consistent is the Miami Heat and their effort and their amazing defense. I mean, the Heat may not always play well, but they always give amazing effort. And that usually correlates to them playing great defense, because defense usually just is effort. And I mean, honestly, in my opinion, like, that's more than enough to hold down super hobbled Joel Embiid. James Harden, yes, he can put that pressure on you, but just, you know, definitely just slowing down a little bit. So if there's no Joel Embiid, you're telling me you got that whole Heat team who's predicated on defense, who predicated on shutting people down, who's actually did a great job last series of focusing just on one player. Now you got them focusing just on James Harden, who's 33, out of shape. Man, I don't think it's looking very good for the 76ers. And then just to add, if Joel Embiid like plays, like, this is the worst series to play injured on. Like, the Heat, like, they're gonna, your fingers hurt? Like, I'm gonna test it. You know, that's the type of team the Heat are. You know, they're gonna slap the ball, really try to get your finger on the way down, and not on some cruel stuff, but, you know, just I gotta test your finger. If you're willing to play, then let's see. So unfortunately for this one, man, is because I had the Sixers doing it, man. I had the Sixers going to play the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals. But I got to switch, man, and go with the Heat in five for this one. Joel Embiid
in five.
In five. Yeah. The Heat are dogs, dog.
Yeah, no, they are. The difficult part with Embiid is that, well, first, the fact that he has a concussion means he's out for at least five days. I don't know if that's 5 days from the date of concussion or if that's 5 days from when it was diagnosed. Mm-hmm. But if it's 5 days from when it was diagnosed, that means he's missing two games. And if it's from the concussion, I think he'd only
miss concussion.
It's from the concussion? Okay, so I think he'd only miss one game. So for sure he's missing game one. So I mean, that's already an opportunity for the Heat to pull the game, and you know they have home court as well. So it's tough. Look, I mean, if Embiid really comes back game two and he could give us his typical Embiid performances, I'd be inclined to say I'm okay giving the Sixers the actual series win. If Embiid only misses one game. And that's like, that means that the Sixers are going to have to then play damn near perfect for the remainder of the games. Because even playing perfect, you're probably going to drop at least two games at least. So means that would be going seven if Embiid misses one game. I don't think he's going to miss one game. I think he's going to be out for more than one. So I'm going to keep it short too. I think Heat are probably going to do it in six. I'm giving the Sixers two games just because they do have a firepower. You see Tyrese Maxey went for 38 points the other night. So, you know, those guys, they have players that could blow up for one game and, you know, carry them to one game. James Harden is not the same James Harden, but James Harden nonetheless. So, you know, I think just off of what they have alone, they could probably pull two games, but it'd be tough to see it pull more than two. So I got Heat in six for that one.
Okay, Heat in six.
Okay, so I, for one, am shocked that you guys chose the Sixers. Even hearing that you guys before, like, even if Embiid was healthy, I'm shocked that you guys are picking Philadelphia. They really looked awful. Embiid, he's been a trooper. Listen, for a guy who has all these questions around him and everyone's like, man, I don't know if you can rely on this guy, he's always injured. This dude fights through a lot of injuries, Embiid does. So I think this season he may have to lay to rest that whole this guy's injury prone, because at least he plays through it. Unlike some guy called, you know, Ben Simmons in Brooklyn, who don't even get me started.
Don't even get started on that guy.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Embiid. Okay. James Harden has looked awful. We're witnessing this guy just get completely dominated by father time. I mean, he just does not look like James Harden. Now, this last game, he had 22 and 15, which was awesome to see, because I like James Harden. I want to see him do well. I would love to see him go far in the playoffs and, you know, end this whole, you know, James Harden, you can't rely on him in the playoffs and stuff. But he has not looked good. He can't drive. He has no bounce to a step. He can't get by anyone. He's really just relying on, you know, getting fouled, which he has done his whole career. But, you know, now he's not doing it efficiently. Now, Tobias Harris, in that first round, he did average 18 and 10 on 52% shooting from the field and 43 from three. So if we can do that, great. But Miami, they're just such a physical team defensively. I'm worried for James Harden in this series. He's going to have PJ Tucker. He's going to have He's going to have PJ Tucker. He's going to have Kyle Lowry. He's going to have all those. Yeah, Bam Adebayo at the paint. So this is going to be really tough. I am not so worried about Embiid missing too many games. I think he might miss one game. I don't think he'll miss more than that. At least I hope, because that would really suck. Just from a basketball standpoint, yeah. You just want to see the best players out there, but also from an Embiid standpoint, because, you know, you want to see him at least get a chance to, you know, have a fair shot. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. James Harden has just not looked good. And I'm worried for Philly, man. This offseason, they have a big decision to make. If they give James Harden this big contract, he's going to be making $60 million at age 38. That is scary as hell if you're a Philly fan. But not going into the offseason, this Philadelphia team, they just don't have it to me. Like, they just don't look like a legitimate contender. You know, Embiid is awesome. He's going to be the best guy in the series for sure. If he can play, which I think he will, at least for six games, if it goes seven games. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Philly, Doc Rivers isn't the best coach. He's proven, you know, James Harden is not reliable. Tobias Harris has never been reliable. Yeah. Tyrese Maxey has looked great. He looks like he's going to be a star in the league, which is awesome. But is that enough to get by, you know, Miami's great defense and then Jimmy buckets, because that's how he's playing, you know, between Butler, Hero coming off the bench. I mean, these guys, Miami's going to be a tough out, and I think Miami's going to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and I think that they're going to beat Philly in five or six. I don't want to be disrespectful and say five, so I'll say six, but I'm kind of leaning more towards five over Philly.
Yeah. I'll say Philly, in my opinion, would have won if Joel was there, because simply I'm on the merits of there's not a single soul on there that can get close to Joel Embiid and his dominance. And especially when Joel Embiid plays, that changes the entire game, because now the defense is going to have to collapse. You have shooters outside, you hit your shooters. Now you got other players rolling. That changes the whole dynamic of the game. But if he doesn't play, I don't see that the Sixers really be able to do anything. This is really starting to the whole Ben Simmons thing is starting to really bite them in the butt, man, because they just gave away way too much with Seth and Andre Drummond. And I know Andre Drummond is I mean, he's not a great player, but look, when Joel Embiid was out earlier in the season and Andre Drummond was here, I believe he had like two or three like 20 and like 20 games, like 20 points, 20 rebound games. So he's not a low life out there, man. You throw him out there and he can do some. He's a big body.
At least he's a body.
Bigger than anybody on the Heat. He's a three-time rebounding champion. Like, okay, rebounding don't win any game, man. What you talking about? Getting a second chance buckets, everything, pushing the pace, all of that. So look, I agree. You know, without Joel Embiid, it's going to be tough. Sixers are just really feeling the effects of that Ben Simmons trade. Seth Curry would have been freaking huge in this series. Where I just talked about right now, you having Joel Embiid, defense crashes in, you hit a Seth Curry instead of hitting an inconsistent Danny Green. Oh, that's so much better, man. So unfortunately it's over for the 76ers. I got Heat in five. Yeah.
As of now though, it looks like the Nets didn't win that Ben Simmons trade either, because he hasn't played. And I don't think that, I don't know if he's going to, because you see that the Nets wanted him to play the game four and he didn't. So that's going to be more fractured relationships.
That.
Like,
I cannot stand that.
It's honestly, like, it seems like we thought it was going to be a win-win trade, but it looks like it was a lose-lose trade for both sides because no one really walked out of that one.
I have a hot take. I think in a year, Ben Simmons won't even be in the league anymore.
In the league, yeah. It's really looking more and more believable. I was thinking about it. Really, really, it would be. And you know what's funny? If that happens, John, I got to give it up to you because John said Ben Simmons shouldn't even be in the league because he couldn't shoot. And I was like, yeah, but he could do everything else so well. But yeah, I mean, the guy doesn't play. Like, man, you know, you can't. Like, I was always like, oh, you know, you don't need him to be a shooter because he can defend because he's a great, you know, he's a great floor general. He's a good passer. But, dude, the guy doesn't even want to play. I'm not even going to get into Ben Simmons, but I will say, I honestly think that the Sixers, if they really had, they did give up too much for James Harden. And if they had those pieces, they had a shot. But I still think you have Embiid. He's been playing like an MVP. He's a lot of people's MVP this season. I really think he had the power to swing the series. I really think that Sixers could pull out the win if Embiid was playing healthy the whole time. And this is why it was crucial for the Sixers to put the Raptors away in four when they had the chance. They would have put the Raptors away in four. They would have had rest, especially for a player like Embiid. It's no surprise Embiid has injury problems. We've all known this. And they played with their food. They gave the Raptors two games, which means that's two extra games that they have to play. No, three, because they played two games and then they had another one where they actually won. So it's extra games at the – no, that's two. Sorry, I fucked my math up. But it's extra games that no matter what that the Sixers had to play that they didn't have to. They would have just closed them out when they had a chance, you know. And obviously, hindsight is 20/20, but, you know, it didn't take a genius to see that one coming. And B just gets injured, unfortunately. It's a part of the game. He's a big dude. Big players are more injury prone. So you have to close out the games as quick as possible and get your stars some rest. Sixers didn't do that. You know, the Heat somewhat did, and it's gonna help them now in this series, especially with Embiid being out now.
Man, oh wow. Honestly, that was a huge game changer, Joel Embiid being out, man. But
and didn't he get hurt in the last game too when they were up by like 29?
That's how he fractured his
The fractured his face. The thumb was in the game before the game before. Four, I believe,
yeah. Up 29 with 4 minutes left in the game.
Where did we see this before? Like, obviously it's not as serious as Derrick Rose, but that's where we saw it. Derrick Rose got hurt on a play when he shouldn't even have been out there.
Hey,
never been the same.
Hey, my Mavs had to learn the hard way too. Luka got that calf sprain at the
on the last. In but the you last know what? But game. They needed that game though. They needed that game. I think wasn't it for seeding still.
Yeah, but we were up big. We were up big in the fourth quarter. So yeah, Luka didn't have to be out there either. Yeah, so we're seeing this a lot where coaches just don't take their star guys out and they end up getting injured and it ends up biting them in the ass. So
yeah, see, Greg Popovich was doing that. He was he would start pulling out as soon as he locked up that first seed back in 2000 and early to mid 2000s when he was locking up every first seed. Tim Duncan wasn't playing since March. Yeah. See, March 1st, this man was already on the bench. And then they would ride through the playoffs. Like, that's the strategy. It sucks, especially as a pain fan. You go out there, you want to see your players, you know, and they're resting everybody. So I understand why the league has put a damper against it. But, you know, then it leaves teams susceptible to injuries like that.
Man. Well, all right, guys. So, look, I think we covered a lot, guys. We covered all the series. You just gave our thoughts, talked about some X factors.
Hill's pick.
Jay Hill's pick for this last game. He has Heat in five. He has Heat in five as well. Yeah, he has Heat in five. But I mean, look, guys, we covered a lot of topics here, guys. You know, we talked about all the series, some X factors, and everything, man. But you guys got any last closing words? Because you know, over here in the West Coast, it's like 6 p.m. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to edit this video. I'm going to lay my head down to rest at night. I'm going to wake up real early tomorrow and get ready for this Celtics and Bucks game, man. So you guys got any last words before we officially get into round two of the NBA?
Just that today felt weird with no basketball. Today felt weird. Man. There was no basketball. Yesterday's game was good. But now we're getting to the games where – every game is going to be good. Every series is going to be good. I mean, every series was good in the first round too, though, which was nice. Like, this playoffs has been good, but this now we're getting to every series. It's going to have, you know, must watch games. So it's going to be an exciting time. It's an exciting time as we start closing in now. We got, you know, the final teams that are now fighting for this, fighting for the title. So it'd be exciting to keep watching.
Yes, sir. Shabba, you got any last words?
Yeah, all of these series are going to be super fun. You know, I'm really excited. You know, everyone's playing for some sort of legacy here between Embiid, Chris Paul, Steph Curry. Can he get another championship? Ja Morant, is he going to, you know, break out? Miami, are they going to get through, you know, the drama in the regular season, and they, can they come back? Luka, is he going to win the championship? Yes, but I got to, you know, let Giannis, you guys.
Giannis and Tatum, a lot, yeah, of good storylines.
Yeah, so yeah, this is going to be a really fun round too. And yeah, but unfortunately, Mavs in seven. So sorry, Phoenix.
Hey, I'm with that. We'll see Mavs in seven. Like, that's cool. Honestly, if the Mavericks come out of the West, I wouldn't be complaining because right now I have Suns Warriors in the Western Conference Finals, and neither of those two teams I'd like to see win the title. So for me, Mavericks coming out of the West is cool with me.
Man, I love it.
Mavs out the West. That's how we'll end it, man. So for all the family out there, man, make sure you guys go check out Shabba and his podcast, man. I was talking about in the beginning, it's the Big Shot Pod, man. You got great content over there. If you love basketball, man, just make sure you go check it out. I'll link everything in the description down below, so don't forget to go check that out. And don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, man. If you're on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, leave us a nice comment down below. And Apple Podcasts, Spotify, 5-star ranking, leave us a review. We appreciate y'all, man. So we about to get to these games, man. And that's it. Sure. We out here, y'all. Clutch Talk out.
Peace. Thanks, guys.
All right, so that is our episode for today. So obviously we went over round two, what to expect, and this is going to be a really, really fun round. All four series are so intriguing, so interesting. They're going to be so fun. The two games that we got to see today between Milwaukee and Boston, and then between Golden State and Memphis, they were a lot of fun. You can tell it's going to be an intense series for both of those matchups. So yeah, I will keep you guys updated on everything that happens here in round two. And obviously, as we go on throughout the playoffs, I'll update you guys with everything as well. So real quick, you know, I just wanted to again say thank you to Clutch Talk, over to John and Jay Hill. You guys are awesome. I always have a whole lot of fun with you guys when we talk hoops. So I'm always happy to talk to you guys. So thank you for having me on. But also, I just wanted to remind you guys, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, hit us up on Twitter. Our Twitter is at the Big Shot Pod. Again, our Twitter is at the Big Shot Pod. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, please do not hesitate to send us a DM, mention us, whatever you have to do to get our attention. Just get our attention, and I will address anything that you guys have. I have to say, on the next episode. But okay, so also, I just want to say, if you guys follow our Facebook page, which actually our Facebook page, if you've noticed, it's not called The Big Shot Pod. It's actually called NBA All Day. Remember, our Facebook page is called NBA All Day. Again, I'm always posting on there. I'm posting stats, posting NBA news, anything that happens in the NBA, I'm posting on there. So if you're following that, thank you. And if you're not following us on Facebook, again, our Facebook page is NBA All Day. You'll see our profile picture. It's an orange picture, and it says NBA All Day, so you won't miss it. So yeah, give us a follow there. And yeah, so I think that's basically everything I got for you guys for today. But I look forward to speaking hoops in our next episode. But once again, I am your host, Shabba Baja, and thank you so much for listening to The Big Shot Pod. Have a good night, everybody.